Sports Show, episode number 416. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me together here in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm happy to report the weather is finally getting reasonable to deal with for a springtime situation. You got the door open here at the Casa de Cole Coffee, letting in that fresh air. And I'm knocking on wood as I say this, but I think winter is finally done here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we had some spring showers yesterday.
I
know you've been jet-setting around. I think you were here to get to experience that. It's funny, yesterday I was like, I'm going to go walk. I'm just get outside because it's the day off. I'm like, I'm going to explore a little bit, get some exercise, open up the window, and of course it was gray. I was like, are you serious? And then I was like, oh, it's probably not that bad. Let me just walk to get the mailbox. And by the time I walked to the mailbox, it started like
pouring
rain. And then I was
you.
Like, oh, well. We're not working out outside.
Hey, that's not your fault.
Yeah, well, I still got some work inside the garage. You know,
the
strong coffee garage. I got to come up with a better nickname for that.
Strong coffee garage. Well, I know dedicated athletes like yourself, you really just can't even go a day without
You're just always in a fight camp. You know, it's always a fight camp.
Hilarious. I'm trying not to laugh too much. So I'm starting to feel better. I'm not starting to feel better. I feel way better. I'm pretty sure last week, I don't know, maybe it's just flu or like maybe I got COVID again. I don't know. But like I was in San Jose and my body, my muscles, like everything was just aching like that. Just where like literally all your joints are in pain, super tired, didn't want to get out of bed. And so that's gone, fortunately. But even a week later, man, I've still got like this down in my lungs a little bit, yeah. You know what I mean? If I laugh a little bit too deep.
Sounds like flu, maybe like bronchitis or something.
Something. Oh, bronchitis. Didn't even think about that.
Didn't you say your voice got fucked up?
Yeah, really bad. And it just nonstop coughing. Like I said, like, even now if I breathe in too deep or I laugh, there's something down there that just kind of makes me go into a coughing fit. So, I mean, I feel a million percent
UFC
better.
Found out you were covering Bellator and they done poisoned you or something.
That's their chemical warfare program they've been working on behind the scenes.
Yeah, them and the Russians been developing it off to the side.
Oh, that's funny, man. Well, I appreciate anybody that took the time to listen to last week's episode. I will offer my apologies. I felt awful last week and could not stop coughing long enough to actually do a show. I tried to do a show.
Yeah, that last little bit was rough.
Oh, dude.
You could tell. I was like, I think you might have just died. But I knew you didn't because you sent me the file. So.
I was like, I may be dying here, but can you get this last episode
posted?
Well,
it's funny because you're like, you want to do a little – you want to do something small. And, like, literally after – it's funny because I thought it was 18. It was 16 tough members. Then there was the power slap.
Oh.
And then it was into the UFC media day. By the end of that, I was like – I don't even want to see myself. I didn't want to hear myself. I didn't want to, like, even see anything. I was like, let's just get this day over. So when you're like, well, if you want to add something small, I was like, nah, we'll just
you're
keep
like,
it
nah, we'll just put some we'll music keep, on it.
We'll just keep it short.
Oh, that's
we'll
so
just
funny,
keep it
man.
Short.
You guys had a day, man. That was a crazy
it
day.
Blew. I mean, like, last week, it felt so long. And here I am earlier today bitching about the extra stuff that they threw on the London media day. I just felt like last week with the UFC trying so hard to throw all that power slap, it just made the day even longer. And then to throw the tough media day as well.
I was going to say, had it just been power slap, but then to throw in the tough as well. Like, that's a lot. Like, tough media day
It was an old school media day. So it was literally like, pick up your camera, slide over a chair. Pick up your camera, slide over it. And it was just like, so stressed to like go. And then like, oh, this guy's going to get pulled. Can you run down and grab him real quick?
Right.
And then you run down there. And then I'm running back. I'm like, have I interviewed you yet? You know, and then you're just like, So by the end of that, I was just like, I'm over it. And I was like, it was 8 o'clock. I think 8 o'clock chicken. Or is it 7 o'clock chicken? But it was like at the crack of dawn. I was like, so it just made the whole week just feel like so, so long.
Did you tell me you got to talk to Jason Knight? Did you at least get to
talk
to
him? He was the very first one. Started with him.
Started.
And it's funny because I was talking to the guys. I was like, you know, so part of it going into it, it's not like I was like, oh, the night before on my day off, I'm going to research like whatever. I was like, I'm just going to wing it, you know. But the two people that I think – when I was identifying to the guys, like, you know, obviously there's the veterans and then there's the prospects. The prospects are just gonna be like, oh, whatever. I'm not going to research these guys and just for like a 5-minute interview or whatever. I was like, I just kept it about the experience, about the coaching, you know, whatever. Cause ultimately in my head, I was like, it's going to be a compilation video. I'll just smash whatever together. But as for the veterans, I was like, okay, there's a possibility of getting some stories there. But out of the guys there were two personalities that immediately that I was like, okay, these are probably the ones that are going to be worth something. And they were the ones that did. And that was Jason Knight and it was Brad Katona.
Cause Brad, yeah, Brad.
Brad absolutely. Won the show, yep. And here he is again. And so the idea of why you wanted to do this again struck me as.
Yeah, because you could almost be bitter, right? Like, yeah. I went through this whole thing and it wasn't like I came up short. Like,
but
I think
I think he was one of the ones that Connor brought here with him.
Right.
You know, and I identified sort of the other ones. But what's interesting is he's not on Connor's team.
That's right.
You know, he's on with the veterans team.
Right, because Michael Chandler's.
Because Chandler's got all the veterans.
Right.
You know, and then.
That is interesting.
I don't even know if they meant it to be like that, because when the guy was telling me about, you know, because earlier I was like, oh, you know, the veterans were saying about you prospects or whatever, and he was like, oh, so Chandler's team was here. I was like, oh, wait, so you're telling me that Chandler's team is the veterans.
Accidental spoiler.
And you guys are the prospects. And he's like, I don't know if it was meant to be that way or whatever, if that's just how they picked it, because they did pick the guys. I assume. I haven't seen the show.
No. Well, really?
I mean, don't they
There's
always
no
do a pick?
There's no way they actually did, like, a full draft and just happened to end up with, like...
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That would be insane if it was.
Until we actually see it.
That would be crazy if they just actually did a... There's no way that happened.
But it'd be,
the odds of that happening... I mean, think about just the sheer odds.
Well, I wonder if they just told them, like, hey, guys, just act like you're considering it, but then just pick the veteran or whatever. But who knows? Until we actually see the episode, maybe they already knew what was going to be the deal. But for the fighter to think like, oh, and maybe this is just because whatever, because one, if he was smart enough, he wouldn't release that info to me in the first place. But if he thought that there was that they were actually picking guys
right.
as they thought, you know, then you would think that, you know, there is the possibility. But why bring a guy knowing that he's not going to be on your team?
Yeah, that is weird.
You know, but I mean,
unless you just try, I mean, yeah,
you're trying to help.
Weird,
I mean,
it's,
he's trying to help
him
out.
Opportunity, you're trying to help him out,
and
but then I'm also going to coach somebody to try and beat you.
Right.
That is a little bit weird.
You know, and
like, how much do you share? Like, if you're going up in that match, you're like, bro, his right cross, he always drops it every. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, from what I've been hearing, that the delays and like a lot of the taping that they had, like a lot of people were saying, because Connor would either he was either like very high or stoned, or that's the same thing, drunk or like stoned. That they delayed a lot of shooting and stuff.
Wow.
So there are times where the teams showed up to actually practice and he never showed up. So they sent the team home. Like, it happened a bunch of times, I guess. Or maybe not a bunch, but it happened on multiple times.
Whoa.
So, you know, what was interesting. Now this is becoming like a tough 31 media day.
That's not good.
They were talking, a lot of the fighters kept saying, I was like, you know, what was the experience like? What was, you know, one of the things you took away? And they're like, man, this whole, like, hurry up and wait thing. And I laughed because I was like, dude, we say that in production all the time
right.
or in covering events. You hurry up, get in line, you get in there, and then you're waiting, you
yep.
know. But I was like, that's interesting that you guys are saying that, you know.
Because you're supposed to be the talent. Because
you're the talent that they're waiting for.
Yeah, they're waiting
you know?
For you.
So
that was probably just more of a lean towards that they were waiting.
I think part of it was more so because of they're waiting for Connor.
Wow.
You know, because they wouldn't. There's no reason when they bring the guys. Granted, a lot of the guys they have nothing else to do but sit in the house. So probably their whole day feels like hurry up and wait for the next time they're actually interacting with somebody outside
right.
of the house. So maybe that's part of that too. But to hear that they were having issues when it came to filming or practice because the coach didn't show up and they needed him to film stuff, and that's why they're like, well, we really need Connor to film this, you know. So they're like, well, guys, they probably did some sort of workout and then just sent him on the way home. I don't think they would punish him to the point of where it's like, let's not get a day of workout in because your coach didn't show up.
Yeah,
I would think that they would still do something, but I would think that the day would be either shorter or whatever, or they might say, hey, we're gonna have to try to.
That's gotta be
go
concerning
back.
Right. I mean, I know that we don't have a date for the fight yet, so I mean technically, like, there's no need for Connor to be like in
yeah.
fight camp.
We don't even
type
know if
dedication.
He's entered the pool at this point.
It's true.
I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard
anything.
You know,
I mean, it's not like anybody's going to admit it either. You know, whenever we've tried to ask Nowitzki or any of the guys as Conor in the pool, they're like, well, we choose to not say, you know, that's the fighters, blah, 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 blah,
blah. They don't say anything. USADA doesn't say
anything. USADA doesn't say anything.
I think USADA should – we've talked about this before, but I think USADA should at least be able to say, like, this is the current list right now.
I mean, or at least, like, what do we need to do? Does it need a Freedom of Information Act? You know, like, what do we need to do? Do we need to make a formal request and then, you know, you being a certain whatever – I don't know if they have the same, you know, guidelines that
That's
if somebody puts a request and if they have to actually honor that request, you know, like a government agency might.
I guess not, because I think they're a private company.
I think they're
right?
a private company. I think they could just tell you, hey, thanks for your request.
Appreciate
you know, have
you,
a good day.
We're not allowing
you
that.
Know, we're like, eh, thank you very much. But yeah, it was interesting, you know, going back to Katona just to hear his reasoning and want to do it. So I could see where even if Connor, if he was one of the ones that Connor brought over, it was about just getting that opportunity, you know, because when he said at the end what he wanted to get out of, he just wanted to prove again that he was worthy of being in there, you know. He's so funny. I forgot how much I liked his accent because he just got like an interesting accent in the way that he just delivers his phrasing. But, you know, at the end he said he wanted to be the ultimate fighter and be the first two-time ultimate fighter champ.
That's awesome.
He's like, I don't know if that's an actual phrase or whatever. I was like, you can make it.
Back in the day, we had like the ultimate, like very early on, like
You know. But it was interesting. But yeah, out of that whole media day, of course, Jason Knight and of course Katona. But Knight said as well, you know, for all the vets, the running theme was about getting eyeballs again, but also just trying to make that avenue back into the UFC. You know, they had either tried at some point and didn't get the invites, went and fought elsewhere. Thought that they would get the invites and then didn't. And then, you know, then they started getting the notice of, you know, because I remember Knight, I think, was one of the ones where he was like, hey, he'd reached out about certain fights and got the no. And then all of a sudden the idea for this came up and they were like, okay, yes.
That's awesome.
You know, so in his mind, you know, he wants to hopefully get his way back in. But if not, if there's another outlet, say back BKFC again, or somebody else that's willing to pay money, his end goal, he wants to buy some land and some property, develop it around his house. And he says, it doesn't matter how he gets it or who gives him the money. That's why he's doing this. You know, Ultimately I think he understands, you know, yes, say if he got back in the UFC, he's not going to be a champ,
right?
But if he's able to make that living and get that those last fights, get him his end goal is, that in his mind, it's all worth it. Because I think everybody looking at all the vets, everybody, even my question going to him is like, why are you doing this again?
Right.
You know, you guys are veterans. You've been there. Why are you jumping back into what was normally like the beginner's line to get into the UFC? Like, what's the mindset? But for all these guys, it was, they had either been trying to get back in front of Mick and Sean and getting the door open for him, and they weren't getting it. So this was their way of saying, dude, just give me a shot to show that I'm still at the UFC level.
I like it.
I understand it.
I like the concept. You know, we've all talked about over the years, like the comeback seasons were always the ones I think that were the coolest, because you see these people that you know, you identify with them, and it is that story of kind of redemption or whatever, of like, you know, righting a wrong or, you know, getting something.
And here's another
back.
Ask, you know, because we always think like the US, the Ultimate Fighter, like what's the spin?
Right.
What's the thing?
Right.
So if this is Vets Prospect, it's funny because I was looking at Katona, I was like, what season was that? And they called that the Ultimate Fighter, was it 27? Undefeated. And I was trying to think in my head, was that all undefeated people that went into it? It was just all these little weird quirks.
The flyweights versus this.
ATT versus, you know,
Black Zillions,
you know. So, and this one, I guess, is Vets versus Prospects, you know. So
I'll watch it. I watch all of them anyway, like just in the background. I mean, I'm not like writing like story recaps or anything on them, but this one does intrigue me because it's one of those known commodities.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not, I mean, I do, you know, commentating for Prospects and I love watching Prospects develop, but, you know, I mean, it ties me in even more when it's people that like I've covered their career and you're seeing them try to get back in there.
And it's funny because when they talk about the house, you know, like the vets are more quiet. They take care of their shit. They clean up after themselves. They wash the dishes. The prospects are the louder. They think they have more fun. They think they're doing it right. You know, they're maybe not as good cleaners or something.
That's funny.
So it should be the dichotomy between how the vets carry themselves in the house as opposed to the prospect. I'm not your father.
Yeah.
You know, go in there, you know, clean your shit.
Clean up after you're cooking.
Clean your shit, you know. So
that's funny.
It should be interesting. But I heard there was some crazy shit that happened inside the house and stuff. Like I didn't hear the details, but I thought I heard somebody in our Slack channel today that Bader, I guess, got in a fight with somebody.
Damn.
At some point or something. I'm like, okay.
All
interesting. Because we did hear, I remember Kaplan came out and heard about somebody getting a fight, or one of the altercations that Dana was referencing about somebody got knocked out, I think, in the fight, and then the coaches went in and then some pushing happened and somebody got slapped or something. I don't know if that's the Bader thing or if the Bader thing is completely something separate.
Interesting.
But supposedly that's one of the rumors that Bader got in a fight with somebody or got in some sort of altercation,
right.
And it might be as
all
the thing.
Right.
So, I mean, just listening to the, like, you know, well, one, anything with Knight, I would love to see him going batshit crazy, but I don't think anybody, from what I've gathered, has went crazy like the whole Julian Lane back in the day. Like, nobody's like, let's bang, bro, you know, all that crazy shit.
Bang,
but it should be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, I like the veteran and prospect. That isn't what I would think the direction was when they chose these coaches.
Right.
You know, I definitely see how the veterans, everybody that I talked to has been really praising, and we've been hearing off to the side. Dana's even said, like, the way that Chandler's been embracing this, you know.
Oh, you knew he was going
to
come in.
He was trying to say, like, both the coaches, but he didn't want to just be like, yeah, Chandler's really done this. And he's like, Connor's always high. He doesn't show up. It should be interesting. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to see it. But that's how we wondered about this going into it, how the coaching styles, what was going to be. Was Connor even going to show up and do these sort of things? I mean, he's been balancing so much stuff. I mean, we get it. I mean, I'm happy for him. Dude, at the same time as this is going on, he's trying to balance around and shoot with Jake Gyllenhaal at the UFC, you know, down in the T-Mobile. And he's balancing all this other little stuff he's got going on while running this billion-dollar company that sells whiskey, you know. So he's got a lot on his mind, but it's like, dude, if you sign up to do something like this, I mean, at least make sure that the guys are getting what they need. And he has coaches with him. So hopefully those coaches are doing it. But
you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that's portrayed on TV, right? Because there's no question that Connor is the biggest star in the history of the sport.
They're not going
to
shit on him in the edits.
They're not going to shit on him. You know what I mean? Or at least 100%. I would think they would. I mean, maybe at the end of the day, maybe reality is just reality. And if the fighters, you know, if the fighters are griping and saying, man, this guy's, you know, shortchanging us, or this guy's making it tough on us, you know, maybe they have no choice. But I got to think, I mean, there's a reason they brought Connor in to be a coach, because he brings attention to it.
Yep.
I wonder if they'll give it the kid glove of treatment and kind of, you know, just not even show any of it.
Especially with the prospects, though. I mean, I'm sure that they're happy to work it. And everybody said that they enjoyed the coaching that they're getting, because I asked them, I was like, you've been training your whole life or all these past years with a whole different team, and now you're getting thrust in with guys that are considered your peers.
All day, every day, at the PI. Right. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people when they get to the Ultimate Fighter, they're like, oh, this is what training full time is like. Because most of them will have a
living
job,
and breathing,
you know.
It.
Yeah, yep. They don't get to live and breathe it all day.
It's crazy. So I'm thinking that even with the coaches that they had, they're going to be happy. But also, a prospect doesn't know any better.
Right.
The vets will be like, dude, fucking the head coach isn't showing up. But yeah, we're getting good work in with, you know, Coach A, Coach B. But yeah, I mean, the main guy that's supposed to be there coordinating is not showing up. But to a prospect, they're just, I'm fucking happy to be here. And some of them are like, well, that guy brought me here, so I'm not going to bitch about that either. But I'm actually, about this season, because of the coaching and, like you said, how it's going to be portrayed out, I haven't watched The Ultimate Fighter, and it's been some years. I'm actually interested into this one. So,
I dig it.
Yeah, it should be interesting. And because there's supposed to be some shenanigans that have happened between the coaches, and I think that's what everybody wants
flavor.
To see.
You like that flavor.
That's what you want to see.
Of
I mean,
course.
Because even if it was like Tony and Connor, you know, there would have been words, but I doubt that anything physical would happen.
Right.
Whereas I feel like Chandler and the people he's going to bring they're not going to be about it. They're going to be like, bro, like, we'll throw.
Yep.
You know, so it should be interesting.
I dig it, man. I dig it. All right. Well, listen, today being episode number 416, I did the math on that. I don't know if you realize this. That is 8 times 52. So we have completed 8 full years of episodes. Now, there's a little caveat.
Yeah.
I did my research as well. There's been 2 leap years along the way. So I guess technically there's been – well, no, leap years would only add 1 day, so I wouldn't add a week. So, yeah, 416 episodes. This is the completion of 8 full years.
Wow.
Not crazy?
But when was it when we did the Miami?
It was –
Wasn't that in the middle?
April of 2015.
It was April.
April of 2015. How crazy is that, man?
Holy
8
shit.
Full years that we've done this show.
Wowzers.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild. And
now I want a drink.
I got to go to my kids' soccer practice a little bit.
I saw you drinking at the slap. I was like, maybe that didn't help. I was like, you should add whiskey or something.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Beer doesn't help. Whenever I have a sore throat, beer doesn't do anything for me. Unless I'm just at the point where I just need a buzz, where I don't want to feel my
head. I was actually doing some Happy Dad seltzers.
Oh, my God.
They weren't bad.
Happy Dad.
They weren't bad. They weren't bad.
No. It's just funny because everybody was like, oh, Happy Dad this, Happy Dad that, and, you know, the Full Send and the Nelk Boys, that's like their whole brand, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Happy Dad shit or whatever. So maybe – I haven't tried it. I think there was just my initial gut reaction was like, oh, fuck. I'm not going to try it.
It was there.
But
I tried it.
I guess on the same note, I wanted to hate on Prime.
Right.
the one that I've had, or I've had two flavors, I thought were delicious.
It's good, right?
I thought they were good. So really I was like, good. I was like, fuck, I wanted to not Dang like it. But I was like, I read the ingredients. Good ingredients.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have like, it's not full of like sugars and other like stuff.
And that coconut water.
And then the one I had, I was like, I can't hate on it. Because it was like really sweet. And I was like, oh, it's got to be full of sugar. And it wasn't. And I was like, dude, this like Gatorade, which doesn't taste as sweet, has like a bazillion sugar. Fucking yeah. sugar, grams of sugar. And I was like, Gatorade's terrible for you.
It's healthy. Prom's healthy. Happy dad's low on sugars as well. I mean, I'm just.
Is that actually alcohol?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a seltzer. Okay.
It's like a White Claw?
Yeah, it's like a White Claw probably, I guess. Okay. I've never had a White Claw, but yeah, that's probably what it's like. Sounds way less.
I've had me some White Claws.
I'm a little more embarrassed to say I was drinking it now that you say it's like White Claw.
At least White Claw sounds sort of
it was,
more
well, I tell you what,
animalistic.
That crowd at Power Slap was interesting, man. There were some hammered-ass people in there.
Well, you know, and that was the first one I actually watched on TV.
Right.
And the feeling watched on TV is completely night and day than being there in the room and let alone having alcohol. I wasn't having alcohol watching it. Maybe that would have helped. But just watching on TV, the pacing and the lack of just sort of the room feel, the anticipation. But even that's just when you go watch a UFC fight. Watching a UFC fight in the arena and watching on TV.
Totally different.
Totally different. You don't get caught up in the whole sort of like group mentality, that feel where just like the emotions just floating there. And I swear everybody must be like releasing like pheromones of like, oh, fight, you know. It didn't feel the same. It's not that I didn't appreciate watching it. It just felt completely 100% different. Mm-hmm. So for those that are like, man, I can't believe people watch this on TV, I go back to that statement of being able to see it in the room as to watch it on the TV. Two totally different things.
100%.
Not to say that, you know, I still think it's great or whatever, but it's very, very different.
It is.
Very, very different.
Yeah, it's a different experience.
Boy, what about that dude that kept doing the fouls and eventually got kicked off because he kept like
DQ'd.
Flinching? Yeah.
DQ'd because he was flinching.
DQ'd like a million times. Yeah. Like, and I was like, why is he still up there? Why is he still up there? And I think they eventually said it was because of three times where he did something. I swear I saw like six fouls.
Yeah, he had
and
like
I was
five
like,
fouls. They
like,
finally DQ'd him. They gave him like warnings, but it was 3-point deductions, and then so it was a DQ. Yeah, that dude is not going to
be back.
Why are
you there? Like, why?
Not going to be back.
And didn't he have to make it through people to even get to that point? Like, I don't understand, you know,
bad.
Why you go that far.
It started out
pretty
rough. You could even see, it was funny if you watched it during that, but you could even see, like, Forrest Griffin, like, disgust on his face. He was just like, come on, man. Like, it was, I happened to look over and see that. There'd be another foul, and Forrest would just be like, give you that, like, Frank Mir face, you know, like, oh, what's he doing, man?
I can't believe Forrest, man. Forrest is just willing to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his list of jobs for the UFC, and now he's official body snatcher, or whatever you want to call him, for the people
snatcher.
That catch the people as they're falling to save their head trauma.
Oh, dude. So, all right, listen.
And he takes it just as serious, because he watches his face.
Oh, yeah, he gets
in. Watch his face. I'm like, oh, my God, look at him. He's, like, so intense. But even the other guys, I give them – it's funny because we joke because we see the same dudes working security at the venue, you know, week in, week out. And it's like – but to see how their progression as well,
They're getting good at it.
They're getting really good
because,
at it. And they take it very seriously because it's the same thing before. They were just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
and
it's
then
a
now
serious
it's like,
thing, but they're doing a good job because if you notice, you've seen this before with, like, Muay Thai refs over in Thailand. They'll dive down to make sure that head doesn't hit the canvas, giving you that secondary impact, you know.
It's pretty
That's
cool.
what they're starting to do,
it's
man. Really, they're starting to do like those Thai refs.
And it's funny because it's the same guys we see that were working the door or doing whatever. And I'm just like, bro, you fuck, good job, man. You're like, you're killing it. But yeah, so.
That was crazy. All right, listen. In addition to 8 years completed, so we got that accomplishment.
Uh-oh.
Today's my birthday.
Holy shit.
I'm here on my birthday.
Why didn't you
we're
say
doing
something?
That. And, well, you know, because I celebrated yesterday with my family. No, I gotta go to soccer. I've got a 6 a.m. flight tomorrow to. I'm heading out to Canada for Fight
like
League Atlantic again. Do I like vodka?
I have that bottle of vodka that I haven't fucking touched for like over a year.
I love vodka.
Now, happy birthday! I'm gonna give you that before you leave. Because I'm never gonna drink it.
All right, let's just start drinking. No, I got to pack. I haven't even packed yet. I leave early in the morning. But yeah, so it's my birthday today. But the other thing, I don't know if you saw my social media posts. I posted that picture of me and Vitor Belfort before.
Yeah,
of course.
Before he called for your head.
Yes, we've had an up and down relationship over the years. We met when I was 19.
Fast forward 20
he
years.
He tried to kill me when I was 30, and now we're friends again at 45. It's been a journey. It's been a journey. But it's
normal.
Yeah, no, it's normal.
Normal.
But no, so I posted that picture, but I also posted a clip of me, and it's my first UFC event, and it was UFC 16, but it was March 13th, 1998, And so it just dawned on me, like a week or two before, I kind of realized that cold coffee, 25 years, bro. 1998, March 13th, is that picture with me and Vitor was taken 25 years ago.
Getting old, dog.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old,
but
man.
But that's interesting, though. I mean, but think about it. I mean, like, you've made from that guy looking all young and, like, here's this guy next to me to making a career out of it, and then 25 years later, still going strong.
Pretty crazy, man.
I know. I mean,
mixed martial arts
has been
a part of my life.
You did stop covering the UFC recently, you know.
Sir. There are other things I have to do from time to time. I did make it to the UFC event on Saturday.
Did you?
I did.
If I didn't see you, I don't know if I saw you.
I was there.
You did.
I didn't make it to the back.
What's funny, because, at the post, I remember, I think it was Amy or someone was like, Morgan's come back, right? I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, and I was like, oh, no, he's going to slap.
I was like, gone.
Because you had the stick, they had your spot right behind me, and I saw the sticker, and I was like, he ain't coming back.
No. By the way, I had said last week, I just want to shout out to Marab Dvalish Philly. I tried to do a full show, and I was so sick that I couldn't do it. But I said, if you did listen to it, ooh, I said, I really like him as an underdog in this situation.
Boy.
And, boy, I didn't expect that type of performance. So I thought he would win. I thought he'd get rocked a couple of times along the way. I thought he'd have to battle out of some bad spots. But I just thought that nonstop cardio, that nonstop wrestling would win him the fight. And, boy, did it. I mean, what an impressive performance.
It looked fantastic. And, you know, and I was kind of on the fence going into it, but I was like, man, Jan, he's a beast, man. I think he's just – he's been waiting to come back and put on the performance that I know that we've seen him do before. And I was like, maybe this is just too big for Marab. And I couldn't have been further the wrong direction than I was. I mean, Marab just absolutely manhandled. He controlled every aspect of that fight. It was just crazy. And, dude, it was bonkers. It was bonkers, man. And, you know, but it's funny on fights like that, knowing that they had that little crazy Ukraine or Georgia,
yeah,
Russia shit going
right
into it, you know. So I was like, I wonder how it's going to end at the very end. I want to know how it's going to happen. You know, are we going to see a handshake? Is this going to continue on? So I like the fact that they kind of went up and tried to address each other a little bit after that, you know, even though I don't think Marab got the answer that he wanted.
Right.
But also, too, you just manhandled and beat on him. You know, his head probably wasn't right there. You know, that's probably a conversation better for like a week later.
Right.
You know, when adrenaline and everything has stopped and the swelling went down maybe. But, man, it was what an impressive performance, man. I think if people didn't realize how good – he just beat the guy that had the belt and the guy that gave Aljamain, outside of maybe that last fight, really, really good run for his money. And, I mean, he's clearly said he doesn't want to fight Aljo. Aljo says he doesn't want to fight him. But, man, friendship, I mean, it's a brotherhood.
It's a brotherhood.
But, if Aljo doesn't move, his career, you're going to stop your career and your dreams.
That
changes things. Do you go a different – I mean, can Marab go to a different division?
That changes things. I mean, so far at this point, Aljamain has said, like, look, I'm more than happy to move up after I face Cejudo. And as long as that happens, then we're all good.
But if he loses
and decides he wants to stick around – because – and you're right. And I think a lot – I think maybe too much was made of Dana's statement about – because right now, it just happened. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like Marab and Aljamain, that, you know, the UFC's trying to schedule them and they're saying no. You know, so I think a lot was made of that statement. But what Dana is saying is true. If they're going to try to stay in the same division and coexist – and you're the number one contender, like, why are we going to match you up with other people?
There's, like, maybe only one other fight.
Right.
I mean, like, if he wins again, you can't keep going back down below on the bottom of the thing. Like, especially for – I don't know what he's making, but you got to go up.
Well, you just don't want him to eliminate potential
contenders.
And
who do you give the champ? And who do you give Aljo? Oh. If you're not going to give him you're going to give somebody lower than him?
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense.
So as long as they stick true to that and Aljamain does move a weight class, I don't think it's going to be an issue. But if they do stay in the same weight class – it is going to be a challenge.
I think if he loses,
I don't think they'll ever fight each other.
I truly, honestly, believe that.
They will not fight each other. Because they even have, you know, I've heard Ray Longo talking about it before where he's like, if they did, I wouldn't be a part of it. Like, there's no way. Like, you know what I mean? So
I wouldn't be surprised if Aljo, if he does lose, that he doesn't change division still.
Right.
Out of respect for giving his buddy a shot.
Yep.
You know, I could see where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to leave the division while Marab tries to take his shot to get the belt, you know, because it's easy enough. I mean, Aljo's a huge dude.
Oh,
I mean, he's huge at that weight.
That picture of him and Connor, and we know how big Connor is right now.
right?
Crazy.
Dude, I could see out of respect that if he loses, I think regardless, after this next fight, I think Aljo moves. Mm-hmm. Just out of respect, whether he loses or wins.
Win or lose. I agree. I think because, so. And as long as that happens,
because if
you
lose,
no,
they always want to do like a number one contender. You know, if they don't run the fight back, you got to be a challenge. You know, and I can see where Henry's like, well, make the two number one guys fight, and that would be Aljo and Merab.
Well, and I'm interested, too, because I think even if Cejudo wins, like, he probably wants to move up, too, right? Because Cejudo has talked about facing Volkanovski and trying to be a three-division champion. And
of course he does.
So, I mean –
and the UFC would give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
If he comes back out of nowhere and beats Aljo, who's looked absolutely incredible lately, how do you stop him? I mean, how do you stop the hype train? Because everybody's going to want to see it. But they love these guys being able to come in and go up to other divisions and take the belts and do all this other stuff. I mean, like, how could you stop? They couldn't stop Volkanovski trying to go up and do his thing. You know,
meanwhile, Arnold Allen sitting at 45 just going, what are you talking about, dude? When do I get my chance up there? But you're right. It would be a big money fight. It would be history on the line. And yep. it'd just be a shame because it'd be like, okay, Cejudo's going to win the belt and then drop the belt immediately. But I guess if Aljamain's going to move up, he's going to drop the belt either way. So, yeah, probably the 35 belt's going to be vacant after this next title
shot. I just don't see Henry sticking around. I get nothing. When I see him say anything, I get no feelings that he wants to be doing this for a long time.
Two title fights. He just wants to win 35, win 45, and call it a day.
And done.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, you don't want to just ruin the division, but obviously it's a money-making machine. I mean, like, the UFC is not out there trying to say that they are. We're trying to make sure that the best, most qualified people are in the fights that are taking place. They're trying to make the most money, and they're an entertainment company. They want to put on the biggest fights that they can promote. And a fight with Henry and whoever is going to be bigger than Arnold Allen versus whoever.
So probably what's going to happen is if we're checking out the crystal ball here is that that fight's going to happen in May, and then a decision will be made win or lose. I bet either Aljamain or Cejudo either way is dropping the belt afterwards and going up to 45, and then you do Merab and Sean O'Malley.
Well,
for
they would
the title.
Have. To, I would think if Henry wins it, they would make him either drop it. Or he'll try to hold on.
He'll want to hold on to it.
He wants
for
to be
the 45 fight to be a champ.
Yep,
you're right about that.
Unless they force his hand and say, "Well, if we'll give you that fight, but you have to vacate it because then we'll put it as an interim underneath you."
And then you just do like Merab and Sean O'Malley for an interim 35 title or something like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep,
that makes sense. Those are all big fights, though, man.
Fights. It'd be great. I mean, I'd watch it. You know, it's just crazy. You know that. That kind of stuff. But, yeah, but going back to the fact of – I agree with you. I don't think Merab and Aljo are in any ways, you know, unless something happened between them two, I don't see them ever fighting. But I would think the honorable thing to do regardless for Aljo after this is to move.
You have to.
You got to give your boy a shot.
You said all along you would.
And if you lose, I mean, Merab's fighting as good as he's ever done. I mean, like, why would you hold your buddy back knowing that that's going to be the shot that the UFC wants to do, you know? And it just makes sense. I mean, and there's nothing that says you go up, you have to stay there forever. Just give your boy a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Give your boy – let him shoot his load and then, you know, come back.
I agree.
Clean up the mess.
At least go – clean up the mess. That's terrible. All right, we'll talk about big fights. This is the weekend for UFC 286 over in London. Like I said, I'm heading out to Moncton, Canada tomorrow for Fight League Atlantic. But it's going to work out nice because with this being a European show, I'm going to be able to watch that pay-per-view in the afternoon, then go do my commentary at night, and then I'll come back and handle the and a half episode for all the fine folks over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So it'll be a few hours after the event so I can get my commentary done, but we will certainly be doing it.
Gotta save your voice for it.
Let's ask, man. I'm not quite 100% yet, but I'm better. So just, as long as I don't cough too much over the next couple of days, I'll stay quiet the next couple of days after we do that. But yeah, that's not gonna happen. Let's be honest. Who am I joking? But I like the audio show. But this is a big fight. I'm so pumped up for this fight, man, because you know, of course, this is the third fight. The first fight, we know how that went. The second fight was an absolute incredible classic. You know, you had the ebbs and flows. You had Leon winning that first round where you're like, uh-oh, we got ourselves a fight. And then Usman takes over in 2, 3, and 4. He's taken over in 5. And then, of course, you know, we know by now the high kick. I mean, it's a UFC legendary moment at this point. I mean, it really is to get a shot like that for a come from behind in a title fight. And now the psyche is just going to be so interesting to see, right? Like already on fight week and just watching things and seeing how, I mean, I feel like it really does change things because number one, you've got Leon Edwards, who's getting to fight in the UK, which that's going to be massive. I mean, that's a huge opportunity for him. But, you know, he always had confidence in himself, but now he has that added level of confidence where it's like, man, I did this. You know, like, I was able to do this. It was not a lucky strike, as some people have tried to say over the years. I mean, since that fight, people say lucky shot sometimes, but when it's something that you coached and you trained and you practiced and you drilled and you identified, and it's not. But that's going to be bolstering his confidence. Meanwhile, Usman certainly is somebody that doesn't lack in self-belief by any stretch of the imagination, but is there going to be that little bit of self-doubt? Is there going to be that little bit of, he caught me that one time, so now I'm a little bit hesitant. I'm a little bit, as I'm in the stand-up department, I'm not quite as smooth. I'm not quite as fluid. And, you know, you could say, okay, well, you know, we know what happened, so we've worked in the last couple months to really train this. But when it's deep-seated patterns of behavior and patterns of movement, like, it's hard to coach that out, right? I mean, think about the whole John Jones Daniel Cormier thing. Remember when John was like, oh, we see something about you, and DC was like, I know, I dipped my head off to the side or whatever. Still got caught, you know what I mean? Like, you could try to, you know, get that out of you, but it you know, in the heat of battle, do you still kind of make those same movements that made you vulnerable the first time around? So it's interesting. But then, you know, you look at it from the Usman side, and I think Leon has hit it spot on. Like, man, when you're a champion, you know, that lifestyle, that game kind of can catch up to you, right? Where it's like, you're still training hard, of course, but there's so many other things going on in your life. There's so many business interests that are coming to you. You're trying to maximize your income while you're on top as a champion, and you're trying to make the most money you can. And you know, you're worried about things that aren't just being in the gym and getting better and just preparing, right? And at least to this point, you know, Leon is saying, look, I don't care about any of that stuff. All I care about is being in the gym, and I'm not letting the trappings of that lifestyle catch up to me. And so, you know, it sounds like he's staying dedicated. And, you know, the last part is, when you're a dominant champion like Usman was, and, you know, like maybe Valentina Shevchenko recently, you know, all these contenders, everybody in the division, and we said it with Grasso and Shevchenko as well, like, they're all watching your tape. I mean, they have hours and hours of footage on you that they've watched. So even though they're preparing for one opponent, they're making their way up the ranks, if you're on top for a long time, a la an Anderson Silva, a la a George St. Pierre, a la a Demetrius Johnson, people are watching you and they're breaking you down, and they're thinking, when I get to that position, when I get up to that number one spot, here's how I'm going to handle that. So they've been preparing for this fight for years, not just one training camp. So I don't know, man. I am so intrigued by this. I watched the countdown last night, and I was already hyped for it, but it got me even more hyped, kind of remembering all that emotion that Leon Edwards had, you know, speaking to his mom. And I don't know, man. There's just so much about this, and Usman's, you know, redemption now at this point. I'm intrigued by this, and it's I'm still leaning Kamaru Usman in this fight, but after what we've just seen, you just absolutely cannot count Leon Edwards out of the fight physically, and certainly not mentally. So I'm pumped for this, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have no reason to think that anything's changed from the overall feel of that last fight. I mean, I think Kamaru still has that weakness that he's got to watch out for. I mean, I think Edwards is going to be bringing it. I think he's going to be amped up even more so because of the crowd behind him. There's always something about guys fighting in their home country. They get that extra little boost. But you start getting manhandled up against the cage, and that boost is going to wear away real quick, right? You know, I mean, but one thing that we did see in that, there was a point where, you know, everybody was counting him out, mm-hmm. you know, but there was something inside of him that didn't quit. And to think that he's going to quit on his home soil is going to be, there's no way. I mean, he's going to have to go out on his shield, and we didn't see Kamaru be able to do that then. So I don't know what's going to change in that, because when it comes to striking, like, he ate the best of what Kamaru had thrown at him that point. But I just think overall, if Kamaru's able to make it that grinding sort of just wrestle heavy style, it may not be the most, you know, exciting fight,
right?
But it's gonna work. You
might
know?
Hear some boos from the crowd.
You're gonna hear a lot of boos. We might see some beers flying. Yeah, in my stat picks, I went with Usman again. But, you know, if Leon can come out there and make it even more impressive and quick, I'll be super happy for him, you know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Rest of the card, maybe not as much.
Well,
but,
you gotta be looking forward to the co-main event, though.
Well, the co-main event, yeah. I mean, the whole main card's good. I mean, when I start looking down, you know, getting to the prelims, there are some guys with great records. It's just not a lot of big names that most people here in the States probably have a lot of familiarity
with.
Now,
are you most excited for Chris Duncan, the Scottish lightweight, or Chris Leroy Duncan, the English middleweight?
Well, I just heard, according to our junkie, you know, thing. I think the guy, one of them used to play basketball. I'm going to guess it's the tall guy.
Yeah. Not probably the middleweight, not the lightweight.
I don't know.
Chris Duncans. How funny is that?
I was like, there's somebody put the wrong thumb on the YouTube. I was like, when they just called the guy Chris, then I see they're saying Christian. And
Leroy.
I was like, no, they can't possibly be two Chris Duncans on this card. And yes, they are, but one is Christian and one is Chris. But looking down the card, I mean, one, anytime Julian Miller's on the card, like, sign me up. When I look at the rest of the card, I mean, there's some good fights, but the main card is pretty fun. I think the Maya O'Neill fight could probably have been swapped for something else on the prelim. But while I think that is a good fight, you know, good for Casey, I did lean O'Neill on that one as well. But yep. Man, I'm just I don't know. I don't know why
probably
that's
a grappling
on the main
heavy
card.
Fight.
Yeah, I don't know why it's on the main card.
Probably had a lot more meaning. Before Alexa Grasso's victory, right? Because you were looking for more. You were looking for, like,
more
all right,
contenders.
We need fresh names, and if Casey O'Neill can beat Jennifer Maia, maybe she's there. But now you've got, you know, you've got Alexa Grasso, who's probably going to have to face Valentina Shevchenko again.
Yep.
Said she's more than willing to do it. And then, of course, you got Tyler Santos that is still there in the mix as well. So you're right. I think this fight had more meaning until a couple weeks. Yeah. I mean, it's still a meaningful fight. It's number
still
eight
a good
versus
fight.
Number 12. So
I mean, it's a good fight. It's just, man, when I look at some of these other ones down here, I'm just like, I don't know. It should be interesting. It should be an interesting. It's a good card, but it's a lot of fights. It's a big night.
Yeah, but at least
what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Is it 15?
15.
Holy. Come on, you
that's a lot of
relax.
Fights. A lot of relax. Stand down. 15. Well, like, maybe we'll lose one or two along the way. But it's afternoon. Look,
I guarantee
early
people
prelims.
Are praying for some fights to get dropped off on this. That's going to be a long night.
Early prelims start at 1 p.m. Eastern. Prelims at 3 p.m. Eastern. Main card at 5 p.m. Eastern. So, I love
these
action
here.
Cards.
Good time here. They're not so much.
Still late over in London. All right, but the co-main event, you got to be excited with Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev, who I was a little, if I'm being honest with you, I was a little bit surprised to see how big of a favorite Fiziev is, but I guess I do get it, right? I mean, his striking is absolutely on point. The dude is phenomenal to watch. Gaethje, not exactly a defensive specialist, right? I mean, like, he's just going in there and throwing himself right in the mix, you know, get in the blender. He's going to take two to give one. And so I think that could be problematic for Justin Gaethje because Fiziev is so pinpoint and accurate. But Gaethje's just tough as nails. So this fight to me on paper is going to be exciting. I think Fiziev is probably the right pick, but I just don't know how you ever count Justin Gaethje out of a fight. But I was surprised to see Fiziev is like as high as like -230. So I feel like a lot of people are kind of counting Justin Gaethje. I'm a little torn on this.
Has to just be people just taking the initial gut reaction of looking at records, you know, 12-1 versus 23-4. But I mean, for anybody to doubt Gaethje and his toughness,
yeah,
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But man, Rafael is good.
He really is.
I mean, I don't want to say this is a don't blink fight because both of these guys' style, while they do have power. They're also known for their toughness. This is just going to be that banger. Same with the next one, Gunnar Nelson and Brian Barberena. I mean, like, that's a big banger as well. But I think I leaned Fiziev on this one.
I get it. And so it's funny, right? Like, because
I don't know why, because I love Gaethje.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm torn on it, right? Because, like, sometimes when I look at lines, because to me, I thought that would be more of like a pick 'em, to be honest with you. Like, I just think with their styles, the way they match up, how insanely exciting it's going to be, how it's going to be back and forth. As you said, durability, toughness, they're known for it. Especially, Gaethje is just not an easy out. I mean, we've seen him in fight of the years after fight of the years. I mean, he's unbelievable. Fiziev is so well-rounded and so just pinpoint accurate. Like, I think Gaethje's going to take a lot of shots, but I just I can't ever count Justin Gaethje out of anything, dude. Yeah. That dude is unbelievable.
He shows up for the ones that you – not that he never shows up. You always know what you're going to get, but he always shows up bigger in the ones where I think people think that there is a possibility that he's going to look – everybody always likes to throw out, oh, he's like Homer. You know, he just blindly walks forward. But it's those fights where they think that that's going to show up, that that's the clearest and farthest thing from what actually shows up, you know. I think he likes fights like this because he likes guys that think they have a chin that want to stand in there and actually bang until they actually start throwing. And then he's like, well, we'll see who really wants to do it, you know. We know what we're going to get for Justin. And Justin, he said all along, you know, he doesn't plan on doing this for that much longer. So I think the fights that we have him left in front of us are going to be absolute bangers because he's all in.
I was thinking about him all in. When you were talking about Jason Knight earlier. I was thinking about Justin Gaethje, right? Like, not that Jason Knight is Justin Gaethje, but that kind of run where, like, I was watching that countdown last night, and Gaethje in the interview is like, you know, talking about how he knows how exciting he is. He's like, he got 9 bonuses in his first 7 fights. Like, that's crazy. A bonus in every fight plus 2 double bonuses. I mean, that's insane. And so when you talk about a guy like Jason Knight, like, I think about that. Like, okay, even if you're not going to be champion, even though Gaethje got awfully close to being champion, even if you're not going to be champion, at least if you can go out there and just do that, I mean, you'll reap the financial reward of it. So I'm looking really forward to this co-main event. I do think Fazeev is probably the right pick, but you'll just never find me counting Justin Gaethje out of anything because that dude is a savage.
And don't let him hear that you count him because he'll just make you hear it when he sees you.
Yes, he will. He'll remind you that you doubted him. And as you said, Gunnar Nelson versus Brian Barberina. Gunnar, man, is one of those guys that's just been such a you know, we had these high expectations for him, but he just couldn't stay, you know, I don't know if it was mentally or physically, you know, just never quite reached those heights, but he's definitely dangerous, man. I feel like this is, you know, if he can get inside on Brian Barberina, he can make I don't think he wants to get into a kickboxing match with Brian Barberina. I don't think he wants to try to outstrike him. I think that could be a long night for him. But if he gets his fight to the floor, Barberina might be in trouble.
He's got to get it on the floor. Man, he looked – it's funny because I hadn't seen Gunnar in a while, man. He's got the full shaved head and, like, the super strong, thick mustache, and he just looks like he's Eastern Bloc killer, man. I'm just like, dude, you're fucking scary, man. And Brian's completely opposite. He's coming in there with – painted nails
and overalls.
Maybe not this one because she won't be over there. So I imagine unless he's gonna take the remote order in the, you know,
let her pick the color and
he has to do it himself or something.
Tradition though, right?
I love it, man. I love it, and he's always just been like a very like down home. I'm gonna wear overalls to like the media day kind of thing. Just, you know, as backwoods, he's kind of got this backwoods feel, but he's not backwoods, you know. That's gonna be a lot of fun. I think that's gonna be a great fight.
By the way, Gunnar Nelson, a big favorite in that. Looks like -375, and he opened at -300 and got even bet down to that.
Interesting.
So,
that's a nice underdog bet right there.
That's crazy. Yeah, Brian Barberina.
I'd put some money on
like
Barberina.
+280. Brian Barberina, he can catch you, man. Yep. He can put you in war if he can stay on his feet.
And he's just tough. Nobody, I mean, he doesn't get finished often. I mean, like, he's a tough dude. I'd have to look to see, how many times he's actually been.
Oh, I can't imagine it's very often, man.
Hoffa got him. Yeah. Rear naked choke. Lost knees. Okay, well, he's taking a few. four that I could quickly see, knees and punches. But that's the nature. I mean, like, especially this kind of fight, too. I mean, this is one of those ones where, I mean, Gunnar's going to be trying to get a hold of him. He's going to try to drag him down. And if there's going to be a place to land some knees and punches on the ground, I mean, he's definitely there. But Brian's strong, man. People have a hard time keeping him down.
By the way, 2 TKOs, 2 submissions, and 5 decisions among Brian Barberina's defeat. So he's taken a couple, but it's not like, you know, like he's going out there getting finished all the time. So I'm looking forward to that one. As you said, the rest of the main card, the Jennifer Maia-Casey O'Neill matchup, again, intriguing, especially because Casey O'Neill's kind of had this next big thing about her, and I think this is where we find out, is she really? Because Jennifer Maia, while not necessarily the most flashy fighter on the roster, is a very, very tough out. And so I think we really do find a lot, is the hype around Casey O'Neill real? Is it deserved? And I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not doubting. I'm just saying every prospect on their way up has to answer those questions, right? Yep. All of a sudden, you start getting into the real contenders, and we find out, was that hype deserved or not? So from that perspective, I think it is a big fight. It's just it was a bigger fight, I think, when we felt like we're running out of contenders for Valentina Shevchenko, so people can make quick leaps up the route. Now, I think even if she wins this fight, she's got a couple more fights while she waits
because
everything
this should get her into the top 10. You know, she'll get a nice little spot in the top 10. But, yeah, she's still got a couple fights probably out. But coming in with that undefeated, man, that's good. That's tough. I mean, but, man, Maya's tough. She's sort of quiet and just smiles, but she has a way of like kind of picking off fights that you don't expect. But it's hard to not think that that the UFC kind of set her up to be that last little spot. Like, are you going to be able to hold on to your position, you know, at the top of the, you know, near the top of the division against an up and comer? But unfortunately, there needs to be some of these gatekeepers to the upper levels. And Jennifer's kind of been able to kind of hang on regardless of what her record looks like. At 29-1, you wouldn't think somebody would be in the top 10, but that should be good. But yeah, I don't see why Casey shouldn't go in there and have a pretty dominant performance in this one.
That'll be impressive. And then the main card kicks off with a fight that I really am super interested in it got announced.
This is a badass fight.
Marvin Vettori versus Roman Dolidze is a great fight. Now, first of all, sign me up for any Marvin Vettori fight, of course. Yeah. I absolutely love the fact that, you know, the well-documented, just hot-headed Italian, like, loves to talk trash. Even this one, you know, I was watching a little bit of his interview where he said he's kind of taking this a little bit personal just for the fact that he and Roman had trained together, like, twice, and he got word back because they're represented by the same management company, Dominance MMA, that Roman had no problem taking the fight, that there was no hesitation. He's like, yeah, he signed up right away. And Marvin's like, oh, he did he? Like, hey, man, he should have had to sit back and think about that a little bit. So I love Marvin Vettori, and I think, you know, sometimes he gets a little bit catches a little flack. I mean, he's had the losses to Adesanya, and I think it rubbed people the wrong way because he was always like, you know, I won that fight, et cetera, and people didn't like it. But, I mean, he is a top-level contender and a dedicated athlete. But Roman Dolidze, man, this rise up to the top to where he is right now, I mean, just a big, athletic, creative grappler, and that's problematic for anybody. He's got that long frame and he's aggressive, and I'm just always so big on fighters that have a great grappling game but are incredibly athletic and incredibly aggressive at applying it, you know what I mean? And yeah, I think Roman Dolidze does that, and you know, dude, I'm pumped up for this fight.
And he's got strong hands. I mean, like, somebody's going to sleep in this fight. I mean, like, while both guys are super super tough, I just have a feeling somebody's sleeping in this one.
I do too.
Somebody's going to sleep. And, man, Roman's got good hands. I mean, I think people have come to accept, at least I know I've come to accept, that Marvin's got good hands and that he's tough and that he actually can do some damage. But Roman, man, he's got power, man. I think I picked Dolidze in this one.
Here's another one that I was surprised to see the odds. Marvin Vettori, -265 is what I'm looking at right now.
Shit.
With Dolidze at +225. And this is a situation where
I feel
like...
Dude, I'm telling you, Barbarina and Dolidze is a nice little play, I would say, if somebody wants to start putting some, like, underdog parlays together.
That could pay you real nice.
Yeah.
Because it does seem... This seems to me like the type of line that, like, Marvin has been at the top of the game for so long that everybody knows who he is.
Yep.
And I don't think people really... The casual fan doesn't know who Dolidze is. But when you really strip away... You know, what are their names? Rather, if you just let's look at the fighters against each other and hit, like, Dolidze is a problem.
Yeah, if Marvin discounts Roman and thinks he's not, that he shouldn't be there, that's going to be a mistake. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a great fight. That's a great fight to get started. That's what's kind of interesting. You're going to go from that, and then you're going to go to the Casey O'Neill, Jennifer Maia fight. Awkward. But I mean, like, you don't want to. I mean, if you're going to have him in the main card, yeah, you definitely don't want to start the main card off of them.
Right.
You know, granted, everything would get better. But I mean, this should be one hell of a fucking start to the pay per view. And then you got to go down a little bit. And then you got to pick back up by the time you get to the last few fights or so. But it's just an interesting choice. I mean, like you said, maybe it would make more sense when they're playing the promo package that they had in mind, where they're going to be setting Casey up to be, like you said, the one that eventually can take down, you know, Valentina.
Right.
But yeah, just an interesting choice. But yeah, as for what's starting the main card, this is a heck of a fight. Heck of a fight.
Yep. Prelims, Jack Shore versus McQuan. Amir Khan. Jack Shore, a massive favorite, understandably so. Obviously, we're all big McQuan, Amir Khan fans, an interesting character, but Jack Shore really does look like the real deal. Chris Duncan, in his second fight of the night, will face Omar Morales there. Of course, he'll face Dusko Todorovic, but no, I'm just kidding. Two different fighters. Sam Patterson, you know, Ashmaus. Mohamed Mukhaev, that's one you definitely need to pay attention to as well. I know he's had a couple little performances where I think people have slowed to say, like, this dude's about to be a champion right now, but the dude really is a phenomenal fighter, phenomenal talent. So if you're not trying to rush him up the charts too fast, I think he's definitely worth watching. He's taken on a newcomer in Jafel Fijo.
I haven't listened to the interviews yet, but just just going off of the headlines from what I'm seeing from, like, our guys on the ground, supposedly him and Hadley had a little run-in at the hotel.
Okay.
Over there. So, because not sure what it was or what's up.
Well, that does not shock me to hear that Jake Hadley was had a little run-in with you. Hadley's a little firecracker,
So
boy.
I need to go and pay attention to that. So, apparently, some shit maybe popped off or almost popped off there at the hotel. So, yeah, some hotheads.
Interesting. Well, I was going to say the early prelims, and I will say, I mean, to your point, I understand that it's a lot of fights, but I will say, Lerone Murphy on the early prelims, that dude is a talent who's been slowed a little bit along the way, but still seems to be somebody to keep your eye on. Jake Hadley, I think, is a talented fighter to keep your eye on, and it was funny because I was going to say he's always coming in with a little bit of an attitude. Him and Malcolm Gordon, I'm sure, will have some fun in there, but nice to hear that he's already chirping
with some others.
I love it. Joanne Wood is on there, of course, versus Luana Carolina. That could be a fun fight stylistically.
That could be a fun one.
I know Joanne is excited to get to fight over there in Europe. She had taken some time off, but was excited to get back there and fight on European soil as well.
Somebody had asked her, and they said, I think it was Simon Head that was like, am I hearing a little bit of an American accent in there? And she's like, he's like, so how are things over there? She's like, rough now that you said that, you know. She's like, you know, I do feel that when people talk to me, they still think that, you know, they pick up the Scottish accent. I'm like, of course
a
they
little
do.
Bit they pick up the Scottish accent?
I was like, does she think it's gone or something? But obviously it's something that weighs on her mind. So when Simon brought that up, she was just, you could see her, she was like, oh.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Well, and I'm sure, I mean, I know that she definitely, like, started slowing down the way she speaks, the same way that Paul Craig does.
I was gonna say, she's much more able to understand now.
Yeah.
And she's
in the
louder.
Beginning of her career, it was just like, what? Yeah, and then, she was so quiet. But, like, Paul Craig, I'll never forget, we saw him at the airport. We had to, like, ask him what he said. Like, can you translate this for us? Can you translate your English for us?
I forgot about that. That was Sweetie
hilarious. Terrible. Jai Herbert versus Ludovic Klein. That could be a fun fight. I think that'll be a really early fun fight. And then, of course, Juliana Miller versus Veronica Hardy now. She's still listed on UFC.com as Veronica Macedo, but I have seen in some of the official documents, I believe she did officially get her name changed to her marriage to Dan Hardy, who, by the way, Dan Hardy, a nice big deal for him and his career. He's now the PFL Europe Director of Fighter Operations.
Oh,
so,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, had a chance to talk to Pete Murray from PFL yesterday, and he was really excited about the addition of Dan Hardy. And so Dan is still going to do analyst work for the global roster, but in terms of PFL Europe, he's going to be over there to kind of handle fighter operations, also to help them scout potential upcoming talent for them to sign, and kind of be in charge of the operations there. And it was pretty interesting because Pete said that's, you know, they've got plans for 6 different regional leagues, including, you know, they're looking at South America. They're looking at, I know they think the Middle East will probably be the next one that happens as well. And they kind of want to replicate that with, you know, kind of local heads of state, so to speak, over there. You know, talent that, names that people know and you know, and that have, like, their finger really on the pulse of the market. So shout out to Dan Hardy for that new career direction
for him.
And his wife is fighting.
Yeah, he's
fighting this week.
He's got things going
busy
on.
Busy man. He's
Good
got
job,
a lot going
Dan Hardy.
On.
Good job. Good job. But, yeah, that's definitely the fight of the night to watch right there. And I love Juliana Miller. I mean, like, I wonder – they should have had her at Media Day just so she could come in and be like, welcome to the stage, Juliana Miller.
She's so great. She is such a fun person.
She's outrageous. I love it. So, yeah, I mean, it's top to bottom. Yeah, you know, as much as I tease, it is a crazy long event. Poor guys over there and poor me sitting here remotely stuck to watch it.
It's the toughest job ever. You got to sit there.
Well, I know, but then they're going to – I'm like, can I just have it off to watch? Like, why do I got to be assigned to it? You got a video guy over there, you know, but no. No. Yeah, no. This should be a fun one. But yeah, I mean, it's a good night of fights for sure.
When do you travel again? Not till Miami.
Miami. Miami.
We'll both be out in Miami for that. So the road show will be on the road
on
in
the
Miami.
Road. Yeah, and Oscar will be there. So I'm sure we can see
a little
visit
hot tea. I love it. I love it. That's UFC 287. Yeah, man. I will say, obviously, you've been busting my balls about not covering the UFC, but
yeah,
there's been so many foreign pay-per-views to start the year, man. It's been crazy.
They've been chomping at the bit. It's funny. I don't know if we've talked about, because I know even within, like, our staff, like, others are, like, so over the Apex shows where I'm just like, I don't mind the Apex shows.
I love the Apex shows.
I'm like, I literally, like, it's 5 minutes for me. I mean, but you know me, I hate driving. So the fact that I can drive 5 minutes. But what always gets me, they're like, oh, man, I just wish they weren't at the Apex. I'm like, why? You don't have to work it. You're not there. Like, what's the big deal?
You?
Like, oh, you have to see a crowd behind, like, going crazy for you to enjoy the fights. Like, the fighters are still going out there and crushing it. It's one thing if they're like, oh,
and there's
I
a
just
lot
wish
of fighters
they're...
that say they actually prefer fighting at the Apex because they don't get quite as nervous. They can hear their coaches.
I mean, I get it.
I love a big pay-per-view card. 17,000 sold out. Like, the electricity.
I mean, I'm telling you, when I'm in the bowels in the back, we really feel that electricity there. You know. It really makes a big difference. You know, when I think I hear the stomping of the seats, I'm like, is that stomping or is that just somebody pushing a food cart back to the kitchen? You know?
That's always funny when you hear the rolling food cart.
It's so funny. But, yeah, whatever. But it kills me. Everybody's like, I'm so glad. But, granted, Dana's been chomping at the bit. UFC's been chomping at the bit. The fighter's been chomping at the bit to have these things go – elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy because I feel like they're doing more internet. They've done more international than actually domestic shows elsewhere. We're starting to get more of that, and this year we're actually getting to see more. I mean, heck, here we go. We got San Antonio coming together. I got Miami coming up. Kansas City's coming up. But again, I don't mind the Apex shows.
I don't mind Apex either.
But you know,
sorry for that unpopular opinion. But
yeah, I know.
It's super convenient.
I'm like, I mean, maybe just because people want to work the events. They want to have the possibilities of going to the event. But I'm like, bro, I ain't trying to go to all of them.
So true. So true. Well, we'll be on the road in Miami. In the meantime, UFC 286 this weekend. If you happen to be in the Canadian market and you want to stop by in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, check us out.
Moncton?
Moncton Coliseum for Fight League Atlantic. I'll be calling that. And being Colombian the week after that, and then back to CFSC finally. We had a long layoff, but it's time to get the CFSC schedule started.
You're just scheduling a UFC once a month or something like that.
Domestic pay-per-views, baby. Domestic pay-per-views.
Oh, good Lord.
That's all I need. All right. Listen, that's coming up. If you could take time, if you like, let's do a rate and review. We really appreciate it. Definitely don't review last week's episode, but please know that I thought I was going to die, and I still tried to do my best to put a show together. I still got that little lingering cough. I'll have to bring some cough drops with me.
You didn't try. We put it together. A show happened.
It was not the longest show.
8 years, folks. Eight years.
Years without fail. Never a miss along the way.
I don't like saying the N-word. 8 years, not ever.
Not ever?
Not ever.
Okay.
I used to, because I got myself in trouble in like high school, and I was like brash. I was like, they won't ever catch me. They'll never catch me. I'm so good. And then I got expelled from school, and then I got arrested, I think, like the same year or something. So I was like,
this seems like a story that needs to be told.
Never.
I won't ever
say that story.
Oh, really?
it's multiple of the stories, but yeah, whatever. But you were talking about Patreon. I want to make sure we give
as smooth I just transition.
Definitely sidestep. Want to say a big shout out to Zach Kaufman Magaha. Zach Kaufman Magaha? Magaha. Mahaha. Man, we'll say it.
Short.
Kaufman, Mahaha.
Shortman for short for Zach Kaufman.
Yes. But welcome, Zach. Zach jumped on for the yearly. So he signed on. He's stuck with us for a year. Thanks, Zach. Welcome to the family.
Year number nine.
You're not getting rid of us. Yeah, year nine, you're on for the ride, brother.
Let's do it.
But it's such a great little community. Everybody hopped on there and was telling, like, Jim, speedy recover, feel better, blah, blah, blah.
I felt like trash, man. I actually.
You sounded like death.
Dude, I felt like trash. And it was the coughing was annoying. I just couldn't. I mean, even now, obviously, you hear when I laugh, I cough. But, like, I could not stop long enough to get sentences out. I didn't even tell you this, but, like, even in that, like, 25 minutes or whatever it was, there's, like, four edits in there where I had to stop.
Oh,
and, like, one of them, I was so bad, like, I couldn't even piece it together, so I put a little beep in there. But there were, like, three other ones where I just cut it and just made it seem like it was seamless because I was like, look, I was like, it'll be a heavy edit, but, like, I'll get through it. But then I just couldn't stop, and I was like, well, this is dumb. I'm like, I can't keep on. But it was so bad that – like, I reached out to Bellator PR and was like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be there today. Like, just FYI, if I don't. And I was in San Jose in my hotel room, and I was like, I might not be at Media Day today, so I just want to give you a heads up. And it was funny. I was staying in the host hotel. So a shout out, I mentioned it, but I'll shout him out again. Danny Brenner and CJ Tuttle. Danny was like, I'll get you some cough drops, bro. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, I get a knock at my door, and I open up the door, and there's like a bag of cough drops down on the ground. I look in, down the hall, and like CJ is like, he's like running away. Like, I don't want to be near you. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near you.
That's awesome.
But yeah, they delivered some cough drops to me. I was like, dude, if they're going to do this, I'm like,
that's awesome.
As bad as I feel right now, like, I'm going to make the effort. It ended up being a good media day and a fun event overall, man. Like, the San Jose crowd, they all show up. So
that's hilarious. I would have loved to seen CJ running down the hallway.
It was with, like, the hands away, like, stay away from me, dude. Stay away from me. So it was pretty funny. Shout out to those guys.
That's hilarious.
All right. Well, I'm off to soccer practice with the boy. And then – oh, by the way, man, quick shout out. Yesterday, kind of my birthday celebration – I finally went to Area 15 and Omega Mart.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, man, if anybody that lives here in Vegas is thinking about doing it and hasn't, like, go do it. And if you're visiting and you can carve out a day, because you could easily spend a whole day there.
It's
and
not,
it ain't
it's
cheap.
Not the cheapest.
It's not the cheapest.
It's not cheapest.
It's going to cost you some money. That's why I even put, like, I did an Instagram post. I'm like, if time and budget allow, because it's not the cheapest. But
how long were you guys there?
Super cool. We probably did, like, 3.5 hours or
did
so.
Did you try to do the side story then?
We did the full side. So we did.
I was going to say, because if you can easily spend, because it's funny, because Esther was posting about it the other day.
Yep.
You could easily spend 2 hours there just not even doing the little side story, just looking at everything,
right.
Just taking the time to actually enjoy it, immerse yourself in a little bit. But if you're actually trying to do the little side investigative story, easily doubles your time
and,
there.
And if you can do that, I think it's worth
did
it.
Did you
it's
finish it?
It's, yeah, we finished it.
That's awesome.
We finished. So it's only it's called the Omega Pass, I think, and you got to pay. It's $3 extra, which you've already paid.
Yeah.
Like,
so when you pay
bucks.
To get in there, you can walk in and immediately you could start doing it. But you'll see a line off to the side that's walking to a cash register.
Yep.
That cash register is where people are lining up to get the pass.
Yep.
We made the mistake of getting that line, walking all the way up there, and they're like, well, the pass is this. And I was like, oh, do we need it to go through that? Oh, no. I was like, oh, so we just waited in that line for no reason at all.
That's funny.
So once you're actually inside, you made it past security, and you're inside with the rows of, like, fake food and all that other stuff, you're in the experience. You can start walking through and doing whatever. But if you want to immerse yourself, you go in, get in that line, and you get this little card, and there's different areas where you could scan it, and you get other little bits of info. But it's just a whole cool little side story.
And for me to have a kid that's 10 about to turn 11 in
perfect
2 months,
age.
Like, perfect age.
Did,
he loved it.
Were the staff, were they playing up to Eli?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, what I'll notice, it's great for kids, but, like, when we took – we went there with Fiasco's kid, the staff, part of their direction is to involve the kids as well. So, like, they didn't give two shits to us adults walking around, but then I'd see, like, the kid there, and they make a beeline, and they're in character, and they have all this fun, and it's – it's so cool to see, be at an attraction where it's about partially to make sure that the kids are involved.
Yep.
Because then they get their own little experience that's even outside of what the adult
100%.
Gets, you know. So it's super, super cool. I think it was roughly $40-$50.
Yeah,
something like that.
It's like $5 cheaper for locals, and then kids are even $5 less than that. But it's still like $40 and 45 or whatever.
And that's just one part of Area 15. There's a great ice cream shop
massive,
that's right inside
man.
There. There's like all kinds of other little shopping and stuff. Like, so right outside the Mega Mart, there's like a little ice cream place that we had, and it was fantastic. But yeah, there's all kinds of cool little other stuff. There's axe throwing in there.
There's a golf simulator now.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like VR things or whatever. And I
that's
mean,
cool.
It's just, it was cool. We had a really good time, and my son had a blast. And I was kind of that's what I wanted to do to celebrate my birthday. I knew today that we'd be doing the podcast, even though today's my actual birthday.
Yeah,
I knew we'd have the podcast and stuff. So I was like, hey, my kid's on spring break right now, so it's like the perfect time for us to go do it.
Yeah, Area 15 is cool. It doesn't cost anything to get into Area 15 itself, right?
I think
it's
you
just
still have to have
you
a ticket.
I
think you have to pay maybe like minimal. Like I think you do have to have a ticket just to get in.
You have to have a ticket to something inside of it, or
I think so.
Have to look.
I can't remember how that works exactly.
Yeah.
But Omega Mart, you definitely obviously got to pay like $50. But
it's so worth
once
it.
You pay it, if you pay it and you go in, like you'll understand. Like, oh, my $50 was very well spent.
Yeah.
Here. You know,
it's a trip. It's a mind. It's a mind, and it's normally that Meow Art Gallery or whatever, which is what the Omega Mart. Installations from a lot of times they actually will rotate the installation into something different. This is done so well and it's so popular that it's become like a full-time
it's really
feature
cool.
Like it's just there something.
Really, really cool.
It's so badass. It's so unique.
I just want to give a shout out because it's been around for 2 years and I never went and I finally did and I had an absolute blast and I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, I don't even know what it is, what should I go? It was fun.
Especially for something different, you know. Like, people are looking for something different to do in Vegas that's not a casino, that's not gambling, and it's not, say, if they don't want to walk down to Fremont again, or you don't want to go to the Arts District or something like that. It's a nice thing that you can literally spend half a day in there.
Oh, dude, we did actually, while we were, after we completed the story, I did want to go check out the bar, even though I was my kid. I was like, let me have one drink. So I went to the bar. And like they serve the drink in like a squishy glass, which it looks like it looks like it's crystal, but
did
it's
you
not.
Find it on your own, or did somebody have to direct?
No, we found it on our own. Yeah, like, so it's got like a squishy glass, which is funny, but it also had like a little a flower on top of it, and he was like, take a drink and then eat the flower, and it'll make your mouth go numb. And he's like, I was like, what? I was like, yeah, and it did. So you eat the flower, and it like makes your mouth go numb, and then drinking it. And it's like ice crystals in your mouth. Like, it's the weirdest feeling. I'm like, it's basically like, you know, take a little bump here and then drink it. But I was like, all right.
That's awesome.
So it's fun. Anyway, I just wanted to give that place a shout out. Not like they were sponsoring the show or anything, but I just thought it was cool.
They could sponsor the show if they really wanted to. Area 15.
I mean, we're artists, you know what I mean?
Omega Mart. Come to Omega Mart.
This is what you could be getting. This high level support. So shout out to that. Maybe we'll see some people go out there for International Fight Week or whatever when everybody's back in town. In the meantime, hopefully my cough will get better. The return of Ed A Half. Sorry to everybody. Appreciate your support over at Patreon and understanding. That's the first ever Ed A Half I missed. Almost missed the regular show, but got it done. But I felt like trash. I feel better. Hopefully my cough stops. Fight League Atlantic this weekend. UFC 286. See you next week for everybody else. In the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.